Good morning, 7:42, 48 degrees here in Coffeyville. James Goblin on the Mighty 690, and we have Virgil Peck in studio talking about some all sorts of updates. How are you doing, Virgil?
I am doing great, James. Great to be here, and my goodness, in the 40s already, and then in the afternoon, it's to me, still a little warm.
Oh, yeah. You can't wear the jacket for very long. You might need it going out the door if you're like me, but otherwise, you don't need it. So
yeah, absolutely.
It is Kansas weather at its finest. We just we don't have any rain in the foreseeable future is the only thing that we definitely do need.
We absolutely do need some rain. It's sad that we're having cities that are telling their residents, hey, you've got to conserve water or start conserving, start looking at ways. And we certainly need some rain, so people of faith certainly need to pray, and people that do rain dances need to do rain dances. I mean, we need all the help we can get. We definitely need some moisture. It's sad, James, the devastation it's having on our agriculture industry, which impacts the state of Kansas in a negative way, fiscal.
And we have folks from K-State, and pretty much every week now, they just are trying to come up with some sort of solution. They're giving us their best advice, and they're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel of their tricks, too. So, you know, we're working through this, and we're all together in this for sure.
Yep.
So I know that it's an election year, and deadline to register to vote is coming up, right?
It is coming up, and it's coming up really quick. This is the last day of September. So that means we've got 18 days. October 18th is the cutoff. So if you are not properly registered to vote by the close of business on the 18th of October, you will not be eligible to vote in the November election. Now, some people have never been registered to vote. I encourage them to do that. But if a person has moved or changed their name, they need to update their registration because they are not legal to vote. Now, a lot of times they'll cast a provisional. Sometimes they count, sometimes they don't. But why risk it? Go ahead and get registered to vote at your address, at your current name. Even if you just moved across the street, you need to re-register. And it is an election year. And I was in Topeka yesterday. Don't get it so much down here, but my goodness, the political ads are coming out hot and heavy.
Oh, yeah.
In Topeka area. And it's an election year, as we talked about a little bit before.
No, we're starting to get a few of the statewide ones, and I'm sure we'll get a lot more as we get closer. So
you will. Everybody sounds conservative at election time. It's interesting. I don't know if you got the press release, but the governor put out a proposal. And this hits kind of close to home for me because the fact, James, that I have for many years, many times, introduced legislation to create a back-to-school sales tax holiday in the state of Kansas. And I got it through the House when I was a House member about five times. I introduced it this session in the Kansas Senate. Almost got it through, but it would create a back-to-school sales tax holiday for back-to-school shopping. Now the governor's jumped on board. She says that's one of her pillars of her platform if she's elected governor.
Look at that.
Yeah. I could talk a long time about that. I won't, because this is not really a political show. It's more about legislative. But
sure.
Anyway, and thought I'd mention that.
You've been doing some traveling. You were in St. Louis?
In St. Louis. Then yesterday in Topeka. In St. Louis for a Tax and Fiscal Policy Academy. There were several legislators from several Midwest states that were there. And we were in conversation. Of course, we had a lead, the American Legislative Exchange Council, which brings together legislators from all across the country. This was a Midwest academy. But visiting about things that work in some states, things that definitely don't work in states, and so forth, I found it interesting, some things I may should have known but did not. In, for example, Kansas City, Missouri, the sales tax rate is 11.85%. However, St. Louis tops that at 11.988. We're right at 12% sales tax.
That's impressive.
In the state of Missouri, in those cities. Because, for example, in Kansas City, you've got your state sales tax, you've got your city sales tax, you've got your county sales tax. They have a geological district that charges a sales tax. And you've got some type of a loop, which would be an infrastructure or a street. And then you've got about three different street sales tax in Kansas City, Missouri, but it all piles up. Now, is that a good thing? Well, it's a consumption tax, so you kind of choose to pay it. I'm not sure that 11% is a good, nearly 12%. But as I've talked about in the past, my daughter lives in Kosovo. It's 17% there, but there's no income tax, no property tax. So you kind of control how much taxes you pay. But we discussed that. One thing that I did learn that I know I should have known, this directly relates to the state of Kansas. A lot of people, James, when they go to the state of Missouri to visit, if they go to Joplin or particularly the Kansas City area because you got cities right on the border, they will purchase their fuel across the state line because Missouri fuel tax historically has been significantly lower than most states. It was 17%. The legislature in 21, and I visited with some of the Missouri legislators, I said, hey, I appreciate you guys doing this. I'm a little surprised you did it. And one of them really jumped on me and said, I didn't do that. But anyway, they are bumping their sales tax. They're stepping it up. They stepped it up last year from 17 to 19. And then this year, on July the 1st, it went to 22. And then on July the 1st for the next 3 years, it will go up another 2.5 cents to where they will top out at 29.5 cents per gallon on their motor vehicle fuel tax. Wow. Now, the reason I mention this, James, is because in Kansas, we are at 24 cents a gallon. So that should mean that we will have less people purchasing fuel in Missouri and hopefully more in Kansas, which helps our roads because that fuel tax is a dedicated revenue source for state highways.
But sure.
Found that interesting. I thought, well, Missouri, now they still have ridiculously low tobacco tax, 17 cents a pack. And Kansas is like $1.29 a pack.
Oh, wow.
And Oklahoma is even higher than that. But anyway, so this Tax Academy I found interesting. Several states in the Midwest are going to a flat tax on income tax. Now, there's been a little discussion in Kansas. I would like to see us pursue that. This would exempt the plans that were passed in other states, exempts entirely the first X dollars, $20,000, $25,000, zero income tax. Sometimes it's lower, but zero income tax on that. But everything above that is a flat percentage. It might be 4.5, 4.75, around 5 seems to be the magic number. But being at that academy, visiting with other states, and learning what Tennessee is doing is really boosting their population. Tennessee is growing fast. They have no income tax. They have no sales tax. They do have some other taxes, but it's always a challenge in a state to make certain that we have our tax structure in a way that works for incentivizing business and industry to come here as well as for individuals to work. And that takes me then to yesterday.
Yeah.
In Topeka for the Workforce Development Committee. Learned some things there that were distressing, I guess is the word I would use as it relates to our state. We've got to do some things to improve our status. Kansas, for example, as a percentage of the U.S. population in 1890, and I realize, James, that goes way back, but in 1890, Kansas was 3% of the United States population. The 2020 census, we are 0.9% of the U.S. population. We were told yesterday that Kansas is declining as a percentage of the U.S. population faster now than at any time in history. So again, we've got to turn that around. We can't let that happen because there are only so many of us currently, and there's only so much that we can afford to pay for as it relates to government. And, of course, that's a whole other topic as to what size of government.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, Kansas has 105 counties, and that's a lot of counties, you know, especially as some of these counties, I mean, for instance, maybe Republic County comes to mind. You know, that's one that's been steadily losing population for a long time. I know it's not necessarily in your district there, but it's just one of those things where you get to a point where you can't sustain the infrastructure in your county with the number of people. And that's a problem just because we have so, you know, Western states like Nevada has, it looks like 5 counties on the map. It's probably more than that. But we just have a lot of infrastructure to maintain. And, you know, what do we do going forward?
That's a good point. We do have 105 counties. Arizona's got like 17 counties. So you are right. Some of the Western states have less counties. Personally, I don't know that we need 105 counties. I'm confident we don't. Now, I understand the argument for having counties, county seats, particularly back in the day when modes of travel were not nearly as fast as they are meaning you might be in a covered wagon or something. You need to go to the county seat, need to go to town, take care of business. But you're right. Population is really declining. And when you have a county commission in each one of these 105 counties, that is an expense. Would it be better to combine counties? Might be something that should be up for discussion. Because, again, the size of government, Kansas, when it relates, as it relates to the percentage of government workers compared to population, we're near the top. We have way more government workers compared to our population than most states in the United States. So that's a good point. That should be a part of the discussion as far as it relates to the workforce in the state of Kansas. One conferee made a comment that it just blew me away. He said that the United States, now this is not just the state of Kansas, but the United States, currently has about 6 million unemployed workers. 6 million, that's double Kansas population nationwide. But if every one of those 6 million unemployed workers, and it's classified unemployment worker is someone who's seeking or wanting a job. So that means there are some people who aren't counted as part of the 6 million that could and should be working. But 6 million people, if they all got a job tomorrow, we would still have nearly 5 million jobs unfulfilled. That tells me we've got nearly 11 million jobs across our country, and we have a significant number in the state of Kansas, and we have a significant number here in our local area of employers who cannot get people to come to work.
Every place I go, every person I talk to, they're looking for some people working. They're looking for more workers. You know, you just drive around, you see almost every business has a now hiring sign.
And so it's not that jobs aren't out there. The pay may or may not be adequate. Some places it's pretty good pay, but they still can't get workers. And so that's part of the workforce development. One of the statistics that really hit home to me, I guess, is because I'm now 63 years of age. And I realize 63 years of age, James, to you, is way on down the road. But I'm past 55. The population at age 55 in the state of Kansas, and by the way, they gave us demographics, the population for ages 16 to 24 is down by 4% over the last 10 years. Population in the state of Kansas from age 25 to 54 is down 3% in the state of Kansas. Age 55 and above is up 3%. What that means is we are an aging population in our state. Another graph they gave us shows that there has been a steady decline in the number of individuals age 55 and above who are working. Now, I don't have an answer as to why that is. I don't plan on retiring anytime soon. I know a lot of people that are working into their 70s because they enjoy their work. They feel active. But we've had a steady decline in the number of 55-plus population that are actually gainfully employed or working. So, again, I realize these numbers, some people's eyes start clouding over real quick. I understand numbers. I like numbers. But these kind of give us an indication as to some of the situations we currently face, potential steps that we need to take going forward. And we shall see what the workforce development comes up with. It's vital that communities have the amenities to attract population. And I was encouraged. I was really encouraged over the last several months in visiting with some of our JOCO or Johnson County legislative friends. They're starting to realize, hey, rural Kansas is vital to the survival of our state. I'm from rural Kansas, always have been. So I was glad to hear them say that. The chair yesterday, who is from Johnson County, of the committee, he said that we really need to focus on rural Kansas, increasing the population there, because there are things that you can do in rural Kansas you cannot do in your urban areas. Agriculture is one. Hunting, fishing. Those are a couple others. Tourism. So it goes on and on. But the good news is the legislature is looking at it. The bad news is we've got a pretty good uphill climb. I did ask one conferee yesterday who was representing the Overland Park Chamber of Commerce. He talked about several things he would like to see us do. And after his presentation, I said, I didn't hear you say anything about tax structure. Is tax structure not important to business? His excuse was, well, I was on a limited time here, and I just didn't put that into my testimony. But then he did go on to elaborate that tax structure is vital to workforce development if you have the right tax structure.
Sure. All right, well, we're wrapping up. We're running out of time here in the 7 o'clock hour. But any closing thoughts, Senator Virgil Peck, here on the Mighty 690?
Hey, I appreciate the opportunity to be in here to discuss some things. We'll cover some more things next time I'm in. But I do want to just mention briefly as we wrap up, the Kansas Supreme Court will be holding oral arguments on Monday in Parsons at the Parsons High School.
Oh, I've been to one of those. Those are great.
I had not.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm going to be going, but if a person wants to go, you can go. Get there early. It starts at 6:30 because you do have to go through the screening process. And it's courtroom. There are actual two cases they will be having oral argument on.
It's a very unique experience. I'd highly encourage people to go to that.
So I would encourage, same thing. But go, show respect to the court. Be quiet. You're not there to talk. You're there to observe, and that's it. And but anyway, October the 3rd, 6:30, Parsons High School.
All right. Thank you, Senator Virgil Peck, here on KGGF.